Remember last week how I was like, estrogen priming was the worst, and injections are like totally fine. Estrogen priming was terrible, but injections have gotten worse.
In college, my gay best friend and I joked that if we hadn't found love by 40, we'd have a baby with each other. 20 years later, I'm pulling the ripcord. From deciding on solo motherhood to choosing IVF, I'm Meredith, and this is The Backup Plan.
Last week, I went through my updates day by day, and I think I'm just going to kind of cumulatively talk about the whole week because it's a lot easier that way. Things have gotten a lot fuzzier since I started. We'll get into it. I think this is like cumulative damage that's happening on my belly. I think because I have been poking and poking and poking every single night. I think the last I counted, I'm up to like 40 something injections. I think that because there is follicle bloat, I think there's just like a lot less room in there. And so it just hurts more. But you know what? Let's talk about nice things because that's more enjoyable. My dreams have still been wildly vivid. I had a dream the other night that I had a baby. It was a girl. And then I also adopted a baby at the same time. She was like 3 and she was really cute. And she, everywhere she walked, she was like a little ballerina. And my mom took care of the baby. And then I took care of the 3-year-old to like acclimate her to the situation. And everything was fine, except we had no baby socks. That was the like drama. So I found baby socks and then I was like, this is easy. I had another dream in which my high school boyfriend decided to like give us a go again. And I was thrilled. And I've had this dream before. He ends up ghosting me every time. But then I had to act in a scene with Adam Driver after that. And I was like, fine. I was like, at least I have this. And Adam Driver was like making goofy faces at me. And I was like, well, I'm friends with Adam Driver, so I guess things aren't too bad. And then I had another dream where I was in a play with Andrew Garfield. I dream about a lot of celebrities. He and I were in a show together. So I have theater dreams pretty regularly. They're kind of similar to the dreams you have where like you haven't studied for an exam and then suddenly you have to take an exam, except my theater dreams are that I had to be in a show, but I haven't gone to any of the rehearsals and I don't know any of the choreography and I don't know what my lines are. This was the opposite of that. I came to the show that night and they were like, hey, can you stand in this role opposite Andrew Garfield? And I was like, of course, I know all the lines, I can do it. And like there was an exposition part of the play that like the spotlight would cut to us and we were supposed to be like cuddling, but he was like futzing with my hands a little bit. And I was like, oh, I think we're gonna make out at the cast party. Like I was so excited. And then I saw my dad in the audience and he was laughing at me, but like in a good way, like it was nice. So that was a cute little dream. So all that's been fun. I love my goofy, vivid dreams I keep having. And I have like, I'll have like flashes of them later in the day. And it's this like weird familiarity I get. And then it goes away and I totally forget what the dream was about. But there you go. That's been the most pleasant part of all of this. Let's talk about less pleasant parts, like medication changes. There is a big change that came that I'll talk about towards the end of today's episode. But the funny thing that I want to mention is that my trash can smells like a hospital, much like Jen Shaw. When you open the drawer that my trash can is in, it's just this like whiff of alcohol that comes out because there are so many alcohol swabs and alcohol wipes that I'm using that it just smells very clean in there, which I don't hate. It's a nice little side effect of everything that I'm going through. I used the last of my Zamactin. If you remember from my last video, I accidentally threw away a couple of doses of Zamactin. I met a girl actually because I have to keep going back for checkups to see where my levels are at and everything, right? And in the waiting room of the RV, it's not really a room, it's just the waiting section of the RV, I met a girl who threw away a lot more medication than I did. And I really felt for her, but I also felt a lot better for myself. So I finished up the Zamactin and they told me I didn't need to order more, that the amount that I got really kind of did what it was going to do. And that is to increase the quality of the eggs that are going to come through. So we will see. Still going to be nervous about that until I get some good old embryos from all of this, because I will forever think how different things would be if I had never thrown away that Zamactin. I started Ganirelix this week. It is the shot that I take in the morning. It hurts. So we'll talk a little bit about side effects now. The Ganirelix is a blunter needle. So it's a little tougher to go in, but really not that bad. And the injection itself doesn't hurt, which is wonderful, but afterwards hurts. What I do like about the Ganirelix though is that it's all in one box. Like you open the box and it's a pre-filled syringe ready to go. I don't have to mix anything. I don't have to measure anything. It's just a wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, which is very nice in the morning time when you're groggy and don't want to be thinking too much about anything. Also, it makes me very foggy. I have felt in the past week just a little bit kind of like I'm moving through a fog, kind of. It gave me a pretty wild reaction the first time I took it. I got kind of itchy and red. And the side effects on the box, it says if you get itchiness or a rash, call your doctor immediately. And I called them and they said it should go away in 20 minutes. And I was like, it's been 20 minutes. But 2 hours later, it went away. And I haven't really had the reaction since then. So it's a good thing. It's still the menopause that really hurts. And like, as you can see from all the bruises on my belly, like the menopause hurts worse now than when I first started it. And I don't know if it's just because it's, like I said, kind of a cumulative reaction or what, but whew, like it hurt so bad last night. I wanted to take it out, give myself a second, and then continue with the injection. I don't know if that would be good or bad. It's probably not good no matter what, but I didn't know if it would be a bad thing. So I just grinned and bared it, but it hurts a lot worse. I find myself sitting with an ice pack on kind of like all night. And then the next day when I do the Ganirelix, I have a little belly band ice pack that I put on as well. And just kind of go about my morning for 2 hours and then take it off and I'm fine. Then I'm fine. I've had a little bit of change in appetite. I am for the most part a vegetarian, but sometimes I lapse. And I've really been wanting chicken sandwiches this week. I ordered 2 fried chicken sandwiches and felt very satiated by them. At the same time, I also have had like a little bit of a loss of appetite in some ways. I did the other night, but I think that was in regards to the information I got, which we'll go over in just a second. I just didn't want to eat. And when I finally did eat, it all felt very heavy and I felt kind of gross and nauseous. I get a little nauseous at night sometimes through all of this, but honest to God, like I really haven't had side effects that I can like really report on as saying are like truly terrible. I thought I was definitely going to have hormonal swings and imbalances. No, I've gotten emotional about some things, but that's because they were things worth getting emotional about. Like, for instance, the checkup that I had on Monday. I thought Monday's checkup was going to be aces, let's go. We're going to do an egg retrieval on Wednesday. But my follicles are not responding as quickly as we'd like. And my estrogen level is half of what it should be, which really pisses me off because I did all of that hard work during the estrogen priming phase. And now it's just kind of low. And I am a type A front row of the classroom kind of gal who's really good at everything she does. And I don't have control over this. I can't help this. I am like stuck with the whims of what my body has to offer. And I'm mad about it. And I'm frustrated. And I just thought, you know, I go to the doctor and I always get a clean bill of health. Even when I go in and I'm like, I should lose a little weight. They're like, nah, it's after the holidays. Nah, your dad died. It's fine. You'll get over it. You'll be fine. Everybody's always thrilled with my blood pressure. So this is hard. This is difficult. And everybody that I'm seeing is kind of like, yeah, no, it's par for the course for where you're at. But I guess I'm just kind of coming to terms with mortality in a different way, because for the past 5-ish years, there's been a lot of loss of life around me and, you know, COVID and my dad, and I've had family members and pets and jobs that have all left me. And there was a lot of hopelessness that I was facing. And I went on antidepressants and things got a lot better. And so I don't feel as hopeless and full of despair as I have in the past. And I don't know how I would cope with anything that I'm going through right now if I still had those thoughts running through my head. So this just feels more like a physical manifestation of mortality grappling and less like an emotional one. So I went through the emotional one. Now it's time to go through the physical one, I guess, right? And there's nothing that I can really like be worried about until we come to the end. And I don't know what the end is because so much of what I'm going through is, you know, figure out how you're going to jump over that hurdle once that hurdle comes to you. I wish that over the last couple of years, I knew where my fertility was and when it was falling. I found out this week, my mom told me that when I was about 30, my dad asked her if they should push me to have my eggs frozen. And my mom was like, nope, Meredith is a hard no on that one. And I was, because it really felt like a racket. It felt like something that people were trying to sell to women. And I knew the numbers that kind of came along with egg freezing, that not all of the eggs that are frozen unfreeze and not all of them turn into embryos and stuff. So to me, it just felt like a ploy, a sales pitch to women. And there's no way for me to go back in time, period. But there's no way to go back in time and like convince myself otherwise, because the way that it was all being sold through Facebook ads, and like I had a period tracker app that I really liked, and then all of a sudden it was giving me push notifications with like little snowflake emojis saying like, talk to our company about egg freezing. And I was like, fuck you, I just want to track my period. I just wish that in going to the doctor and getting like annual physicals and stuff, that fertility checking was a part of it, because then I would have seen with my own eyes where my levels were at and stuff. And my thought process the whole way has always been like, well, my mom had kids late, so I'll be fine. And maybe I will be fine. Maybe this is nothing. Maybe all of this means nothing. But I guess if you're younger and listening to this, I would encourage you to just get your fertility checked. Just check it out. If kids are something you want in the future, if you've had any desire to be a parent, just get your fertility checked and just to see where you're at, and, you know, check it again in a year. You know, I remember talking to my GP about some stuff, and she said, oh, we don't really worry until you're after 40 because things have kind of changed. So the age of concern used to be 35, and now it doesn't really matter until you're 40. And it does kind of matter. I wish I just knew. Again, maybe it's for nothing. Maybe it's for nothing. Speaking of my checkups, I do want to make an addendum to something I said earlier. My ultrasound technician, she had this analogy about like follicle stimulation is like having a party, and you're giving your guests drugs so that they can enjoy their stay. And I asked her something about plus ones, and she was like, yeah, sometimes plus ones show up. Your follicle's not going to release two eggs, but like an extra follicle that they wouldn't have seen in the first place sometimes to show up, which is what's happening to me right now. Because we had counted 12 follicles and now I'm at 14, I think. Not all of them are growing as big as we would hope, but sometimes little ones can drop eggs too. So we're not going to get too worried about it, right? We're not worrying about anything. We're just tempering our expectations, but also staying extremely positive. It's easy. I will say that during one of my ultrasounds this week, my girl, she popped over to my right side first. And my right side is really not as reactive as the left side is. The left side, the left wing of the house, is where the party's at. And she said something during the transvaginal ultrasound where she was like, oh, your little nugget's coming from this side. And she referred to like Meredith Jr. is over here. And I got like, in relaying the story, I'm not emotional about it, but I think having a wand up your hoo-ha just kind of puts you into a different place. And I was like, oh, okay. So that was a nice little moment to have this week. And I guess the only thing to share right now is that I'm not doing the egg retrieval on Wednesday. Hopefully it's going to be on Friday. I had to quickly order another round of medication. I tried to get it yesterday so they could overnight it for today. It didn't go through, so I called them this morning and I said, oh, they said it's going to be fine, that you can do it same day. The woman on the other end of the phone at Schrafts was like, what? I will give them props for like working really quick, and they pushed it to another pharmacy that they knew could get it to me immediately, but they didn't explain that they were still going to fulfill my order for the next day. So I got the same day order and I opened it up. There was only half the dose of all the stuff that I need, enough for tonight, but not enough for tomorrow. So then I called Schrafts back and they were like, no, we're still fulfilling that other half. So a little confusing. But it's done. It's all here, or will be tomorrow when the other half comes. And hopefully that's the end of it. And I go in and suddenly my estrogen is just like through the roof and all of my follicles are double digit and we're ready to go. And I'm ready for the next part of it. I'm ready to have a beer about this. I will wait. I will keep drinking my water and my liquid IV and wait. Yeah, hopefully next week I have lots to tell you about egg retrieval and we're back to regularly scheduled programming. Although none of this is regularly scheduled at this point, is it? Like, it's been hard. This week's been hard. I cried a little bit about just life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and yeah. I'll leave it at that. You know how to find me online. It's back at Plan Pod or Meredith K8. And, you know, like, subscribe, share, review, what have you. It helps. And thank you again for your well wishes. And I'll see you next week with smaller follicles.
The Backup Plan is created, produced, and hosted by me, Meredith Kate. Julian Higgins is my co-producer. You can find us on social media at Backup Plan Pod. The best place to get updates is to sign up for our newsletter at backupplanpod.com, where we also post all episodes, show notes, and transcripts. Thank you for listening.